This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
There is a fresh list of trade sanctions aimed at China, which has a reciprocal list this morning, and stock prices are falling. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The news late yesterday is the United States Trade Representative has now released a list of Chinese products that could be subject to new tariffs. This is cast as a response to what the Trump administration considers unfair trade practices involving technology and intellectual property. Then just this morning, China released its own list of American products it will target in return. Note this is separate from the tit-for-tat over steel and aluminum where we started this week. Joining us from Shanghai is Marketplace's Jennifer Pack. Also here in New York is Marketplace's Ryan Kailoff. First, Ryan, what's on the American list?
Well, China sold like $500 billion worth of goods to America last year, and these tariffs would hit about 10% of that, $50 billion or so. It's a big list, some 1,300 items. The first few pages are various metals and chemicals commodities, uranium, pharmaceuticals, vaccines, but also batteries, airplane parts, consumer electronics like TVs and cameras. So Trump's trade office said these are aimed straight at the Chinese Made in China 2025 plan, which is China's plan to dominate various tech and industrial sectors where they've kind of lagged behind the U.S.
All right. Now, Jennifer in Shanghai, what about China's list?
Well, China plans to retaliate with equal measure and scale. So it's looking at attacking $50 billion worth of American imports last year. So a 25% tariff on certain trucks and SUVs, beef, whiskey, tobacco, orange juice, chemicals, and most importantly, soybean.
Soybean. Now, these products that China's targeting here, some of this could take a bite out of the U.S. economy.
Yes, the government in China is taking aim directly at American farmers because China is their second biggest export market. And last year, U.S. farmers sent $19 billion worth of products to China. Now, a leading researcher at the Ministry of Commerce, Mei Xinyu, has said that China should strike at those industries and states that supported Donald Trump in the 2016 election.
Yeah, and Midwestern farmers definitely did. Soybean farmers are freaked out right now. I talked to Michael Pettifish. He's a fifth-generation soy farmer in Minnesota. I asked him if he got to sit down with President Trump, what would he say?
He needs to make sure that he doesn't balance the trade deficit on the backs of farmers. Farmers right now are bearing a lot of the risk of Trump's negotiating strategy or whatever his endgame might be.
And he did say that a lot of his farmer friends voted for Trump.
All right, team. What's the timeline for all this?
Yeah, so the list we released of airplane parts and chemicals and whatnot, that's still just a proposal, and it'll now enter a public comment period. And after that, the administration still has 6 months to decide the final list. So presumably, various industries will try to push back, get their suppliers taken off the list, or get the tariffs adjusted somehow. It'll be a process.
Yeah, no timeline here either.
All right, Marketplace with Jennifer Pack and Ryan Kailoff, one in China, one here in the U.S. of A. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
You got it.
All right, let's do the numbers. Down on Monday, some recovery yesterday, but stock index futures this morning do not bode well for today, unless one is a short seller. Traders are looking at all these sanctions headlines. The Dow future down 548 points, 2.3%. The NASDAQ future is down 2.1%. The S&P future down 1.8%. London's 100-share index, the FTSE, down 0.7%. U.S. bonds up with the yield down on the 10-year note, 2.75%. Sticking with trade, Mexico's economy minister meets with U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer today. Renegotiating NAFTA will likely be on the agenda. With reports, the administration wants to announce a preliminary deal by mid-month this month. Tall order, given the pace of talks so far, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
NAFTA isn't the only trade issue the Trump administration is handling right now. There are the new steel and aluminum tariffs, the coming intellectual property fight with China.
If you're going to be getting into this many fights, it's nice to actually end some of those fights and feel like you have some trade allies again.
Rachel Brewster is with Duke University Law School.
what the administration would like would be some easy wins.
Especially ahead of the November midterm elections in the U.S. and Mexican presidential elections in July. Everyone wants to campaign on a win for their country. Laura Dawson at the Wilson Center says there is some agreement on the easy stuff, but the big issues?
The dispute settlement, the rules of origin on autos, the government procurement rules, even major market access rules, they haven't made much progress on those at all.
She says if there is an announcement, it will probably be to make people feel like there's progress, even if the process is ongoing. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We feel it's important work that we're already doing, and with your help, we will do more of it. We're counting on you to partner with us so that we can grow and keep getting better, especially now when it's increasingly difficult to cut through the media clutter and bring objective, trustworthy reporting front and center. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor and support independent public service journalism. The payoff comes in knowing that you're helping keeping people informed about economic forces that affect our lives. If you could, donate today at marketplace.org. Thank you. Our next piece starts with the note that the economy in Texas has grown about twice as fast as the rest of the country over the past decade, according to Federal Reserve data. And a new report by the Dallas Fed finds one reason is that immigrants are helping to power the Texas economy. Marketplace's Renata Sago reports.
The Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas finds that people born outside of Texas make up nearly half the state's workforce, and nearly a quarter of those transplants are from other countries. Pia Arrhenius is a senior economist and one of the authors of the report. She says most foreign workers come from Mexico and Central America.
They have very high labor force participation rates, very high employment rates, and tend to have very low unemployment rates.
They work in a wide range of industries, including construction, agriculture, and hospitality, and they tend to fill either jobs that require little education or, at the other end, a high degree of skill. Ann Beeson runs the Center for Public Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan think tank in Austin. She says, add to that, many are job creators, and
we have immigrants paying lots of money in taxes in addition to the money that they're spending as consumers.
Her group found last year that Mexican and Central American workers in Texas helped leverage about $100 billion in purchasing power. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
We're also following yesterday's shooting at Google's YouTube in Northern California. We're talking to a corporate consultant who's also an instructor at the FBI Academy on what companies should do to deal with people with multiple grievances to ensure workplace safety. If you missed that on the air, it'll be online and in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.